All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on the other side of this thing. Still here with me is my partner in crime, JB Smith.
Wakanda forever.
Representing JB versus the world. And like I said before, we had maybe 20, 21 villains from the 90s that we went through. And, you know, just to name a few, you know, we got, like, LaWanda, Problem Child, Nino Brown, T-1000, Agent Smith, Gaston, Team Rocket, Doomsday, Mojo Jojo, Hades, Darth Maul, you know, just, listen, if they did anything in the 90s and they were a villain, we tried to get the most important ones. And we narrowed it down to 10. And then we put those in order from 10 to 1 of where they rank. We ranked them.
Which was also tough.
Which was tough because JV is... sometimes I disagree with him and sometimes he disagrees with me. And, you know, that happens. But our criteria was the impact of story, their master plan, survivability, intimidation factor, and their legacy or lasting effect throughout the years. JB, you got anything to add before we jump into this list?
Man, I really hope that everybody enjoys this list. And if you got something to say about it or you want to chime in, just, you know, comment when this is over.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely like to see how you argue of how we're wrong. All right, what you agree and disagree with, and who should or should not be on the list, which, in my opinion, me and JB are pretty much the authority on villains, right? We went like 30 whole minutes about how Shredder pretty much almost ran the 90s.
Yeah.
Villain-wise. But again, that's another conversation for another day. All right, we're going to jump right into this thing. And the number 10 villain of the 90s is none other than Doomsday.
And this was more of a sudden impact thing than anything. He was introduced in 92. First immediate action as a character was he killed Superman.
Right. I mean, not many characters can lay claim to that one and the way he did it. For a new character to come through and just murk my favorite superhero of all time. Okay. It's just maybe not my favorite superhero of all time, but still one of my favorite superheroes.
OG, triple OG, triple, triple good boy.
I know, right? I mean, and then he made Superman come back with a mullet. Like, bruh.
Right.
Bruh.
Like, your hands must be gifted if you gave somebody a mullet.
For real. Like, I don't even, that's like, I don't know. That Superman mullet was almost as bad as Bishop's Jerry Curl.
For the future.
How are you in the future with a Jerry Curl, bro? I don't know.
Man.
But number 10, Doomsday. Moving on. Number 9, T-1000 from Terminator.
Man, we already know Terminator 2 is one of the best sci-fi movies of all time. It definitely came in during a very important time.
Yes.
And the movie still holds up. If you go back and you try to watch it now, you'll still enjoy it. It's still a good movie. It's still a very enjoyable watch.
I think.
And
go ahead. Go. Continue.
And the thing about the T-1000 was the T-1000 is like one of the most relentless villains of all time. Adaptability, survivability. Like, yeah, he got caught up in the end, but that Joker was hard to kill.
Man, was he?
He just didn't stop.
He didn't. And I think that's like one of the coolest parts of that. Because the whole time you're watching the movie, man, you like, just like with Doomsday, it's like, how is this going
right?
And you didn't know. You didn't know the compactor was coming. But he probably would have been higher on the list had it not been for that compactor.
Yeah.
Did you think else to add about T-1000?
Call to John. Call to John now.
Man, iconic, man. He was iconic.
The
whole face and eyes, the red eyes, you can see them in your head right now. All right.
The finger wave.
The Jared curl. What if the T-1000 had a Jared curl?
Oh, God.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. With the Jared, the soul glow. number eight for the culture. Nino Brown. Yeah, I think I don't even know. Go ahead.
Man, what can we say about Nino Brown that we haven't said about any other of our favorite on screen TV gangsters?
Right, I feel like he is like the ultimate TV gangster, other than Ice-T.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he is. They'll probably curse me out on Twitter. But
yeah, probably.
Man, Nino Brown was dope. Man, Wesley. Man, he brought something to that character that was, talk about lasting effect.
Right.
Put just that image, that gold chain, the tango.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know a more iconic looking gangster than...
You'd be pressed to find one.
True. I mean, I ain't got much to add, man. It's Nino. I mean, he went out a little suckerish, but old man came through with the gun in the courtroom,
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not like he didn't have it coming.
He did have it coming, but man, security was lacking that day. They didn't give.
Oh, yeah.
They gave zero that day. They didn't care at all.
Oh, yeah, man. It was very Joe Chillish.
For just, no, sir. No old man with the gun. Pass on by. We don't suspect a thing.
You look completely harmless.
Alright, so number seven, again, our number seven pick pretty much spawned this list because he had, at the end of his movie, he brought it to the Ninja Turtles like we've never seen. Like, he laid waste to them just on some Jackie Chan in every movie he's ever been in. And like, the Turtles had no offense for him in Teenage Mutant Ninja.
None.
None other than, number seven is none other than Shredder.
Orokusaki.
Man, we went for like a whole hour just riffing about how he went in. He wanted all the smoke. All the malls, all the greens, like
all the pig feet.
All that. He came in and was like, yo, I'm about to just whoop off into your grill real quick. I don't care about none of your little weapons. They ain't no match for me. And then he got beat by a rat with some nunchucks, which is why he ended up at number seven on this list.
He basically like squared up every single last one of them and just, okay, you want smoke? I got your smoke.
Right. But had nothing for the rat.
Nothing.
Not nothing.
But then again, he charged it. He lost his cool.
He did. He seen him and was like, you reminded me of some terrible past. some terrible things that happened in the past, and then he just lost his mind and was like, charge.
I could have finished the job that I started with your ear.
I couldn't agree to live.
Oh, that's weird.
Hey, you know what? I think I probably would have wanted him higher on the list had he not fallen into a trash can. Trash can.
Right.
It's like,
oops.
And then not only did he fall into the trash truck, but when he came back in Ninja Turtles 2, the man had a trash bag cape. So, I don't know.
And then acted like he didn't know how to fight no more.
Right? He didn't want none of them anymore.
You talk about something, he wanted to fight fire with fire. Like, bro, you beat them by yourself.
You didn't even need nobody. You had this.
It was Splinter you. Exactly. It was Splinter you had trouble with. Bump them turtles. Go get yours, man.
Right. You know, this all probably could have been avoided if, you know, they just maybe use a BB gun or something. I'm just saying.
Right?
I'm just saying, you know.
You had options.
You did. You did. Long distance weapons. I mean, you got, like, sharp stuff all over your body. You still lost. We're not even going to talk about Ninja Turtles 2. I know that's, like, a point of...
It just doesn't age well.
It is my favorite movie. My favorite Ninja Turtle movie, okay?
I'm sorry.
The next time I use mustard line from Michelangelo at the beginning, when he was beating him up with the sausages like that. Was, man, it was great. It was dope, right? It's corny.
Michelangelo's best line. Michelangelo's best line was in the first movie. Ah, a fellow chucker, eh? That was the best line.
Man, look, I was not saying that was the best line of all time. I'm just saying I get a kick out of it every single time I watch the movie and he throws the sausage and the next time I use mustard. It's stupid. Corny. It's not even that funny, but to me, it just brings back memories of a greater time.
Yeah.
Anything else to add on Shredder?
Man, shout out to James Avery.
That's right, from the animated series. Man, finding out that he was the voice, man, was like, what? What? But
exactly.
Moving on to number 6. Hannibal Lecter. Mm. Not the comedian guy.
Oh boy.
Man, I don't even know where to start with Hannibal. Dude was just mad creepy.
He was just super, super creepy.
His creep factor was on like 1,000. His master plan was on point. And he probably would have been top 5 had it not been for our actual number 5 that we're going to get to in a minute. But just like, he pretty much checked all the boxes better than the previous people on our top 10 list. Let's just be honest about that.
Probably the entire list.
Yeah, he does. I mean, his impact within the story was like, man, probably the best impact. I don't know. Second best, maybe. Like, the creep factor just bled into everything. And it worked so well.
Yeah.
His legacy and lasting effect is still felt now. He was intimidating. From behind glass with the mask on, where he couldn't bite people because he ate people, and he had on like the straight jacket, and he was still intimidating.
He didn't care, man.
He also gave zeros. I mean, of course, he gave zero because he ate people, so there's that. And he ate people. I'm just gonna keep saying that because I don't think anybody on this list has eaten people. So, I don't even think Doomsday ate people, man. Did he?
Maybe. I think Doomsday just ate hatred.
Yeah, we're going to talk about...
He snacked on hatred.
We're going to talk about that hatred survival later on this list. But let's talk about the person that beat out Hannibal Lecter. And she is the only female that made this list, and I'm just realizing that.
Oh, wow.
Miss Harlene Quinn herself at number 5 from the Batman animated series.
Oh, man. Now we're talking about somebody that transcended. And that's Harley Quinn.
Yes, man.
She went from an idea, a random idea, into one of the most important villains, one of the most important characters in DC lore today.
If we're talking about DC Mount Rushmore of anything, man, you can put up an argument that Harley belongs on it, especially with her impact.
Absolutely.
Her lasting effect of today, man. She went from random soap star to, well, let me say it this way. She's based on a random soap star that probably wasn't even a lasting character for a skater in a soap opera until one of the most iconic and endearing villains / heroes now of all time.
And talk about a character that we saw in modern day come up and overcome abuse.
Right. Right. And disclaimer, Joker and Harley Quinn are not relationship goals, okay?
No, they're not. That they're toxic. Toxic is all get out.
But she's also one of the 3 characters that utilizes hyenas on this list. So let us keep the number 4 spot where we come in with really, can I say another one of the most iconic characters of DC from the Superman animated series, Lex Luthor. President Lex. I'm sorry.
Stop it.
Let's see. Coolest thing about Lex Luthor. Origin story. He got a cool origin story. Whichever one you want to follow. My personal favorite is when he lost his hair to Superman blowing chemicals around his laboratory as a kid. That is literally my favorite origin story of all time. His impact. The man just really hates Superman, okay? It's deeper than that. He wants to be the savior, and he will stop at nothing to be the savior. And he just wants the savior to be human, and what better human on earth than the smartest man in the DC universe? Lex Luthor himself should be the savior. That's all. It's not
really. Picture of narcissism.
Very much so. DC has some complexity going on with this character.
Absolutely.
And he's a survivalist, man. Like, the guy's a survivalist. He just won't die. Like, I can't die before Superman. I'm not saying he hasn't died. I'm just saying, like, his will to live is high.
In the Timverse, we still don't know what exactly happened to him at the end of Justice League Unlimited.
True. But man,
because he did sacrifice himself to save the universe.
Can I just also
say, Darkseid was coming for it all.
Man, Darkseid, the fact that he didn't even make this list is funny. Can we just talk about how confused Lex Luthor had kids in the 90s? We didn't know whether this man was black, his voice was mad iconic, and like the character itself was like, I could be anything. And I think that's what made me gravitate to the character, because even though I'm not an evil genius with like any laboratory or super suits, I can understand where he was coming from. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how dare you come to my house and try to save it If it's a fire in my house, I want to put it out if I can. But, you know, I call the fire department. He probably should just let Superman be.
He was doing way too much.
Yeah. I mean, he is the epitome of doing too much stuff. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Moving on to number three. The man that got cut in half and survived on hate alone in a dark cave all by himself. Darth Maul. And before we get deep into this for people, for the casuals out there, no, Darth Vader does not belong on this list because he was not doing anything in the 90s.
Darth Except Maul, expressing his hate for a Sand.
That's right. He was Anakin in the 90s, so he doesn't count in this list. But Darth Maul, I'm going to let JB explain why Darth Maul is on this list.
All right, the reason why Darth Maul is on this list is just think about this. Darth Maul in the 90s was the face of Star Wars being brought back to the forefront.
True. And Jar Jar.
The Phantom Menace. Yeah, I'll talk about Jar Jar. You got me throwing off now. But Darth Maul. And not only the face of Star Wars, but he also was. He was just cool. He had the face paint. He had the ninja outfit, kind of, and the double-sided lightsaber. And he was acrobatic, doing all the flippy stuff. And even in the movie, he wanted the smoke.
He did.
And if you think about his path in The Phantom Menace, it literally was. So I got this apprentice, and he wants smoke.
Basically.
He literally spent the movie.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said.
Like verbatim.
There's no disputing that. He said, I got an apprentice and he wanted to smoke.
Always. And he just came into the picture, arms folded, and that was that.
Right. I mean,
he had one talk with Sidious and he was like, yo, it's about to go down. That was it.
Man, this dude went from the worst character in X-Men. In the X-Men movies, to the greatest villain of all time. Yeah, the same guy, just for context, the same guy that played Darth Maul also is the Frog from, what was his character name from X-Men?
Toad.
I said Frog. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to my Nerd Elite friends. I really messed that up. Darth Maul was dope. We all know this. He looked dope. He had dope moves. He had the dopest lightsaber. Probably the
Great Ray Park.
Say again.
The Great Ray Park.
That's right. The dopest of the dopest. But he could not beat out our number two. And for this simple reason. It's probably like the most successful villain in the 90s. And that is none other than Hyena Enthusiast, Scar. If we want to talk about succeeding, let's talk about where Scar was in the beginning. This man was in the shadow of Mufasa his entire life. He made a master plan that involved his entire family and friends and waited years in the back for Simba to be born. And then he used that child so he can murder his father. And then he ruled Pride Rock for like 12 years. No
villain. At least a decade.
At least a decade. No villain. That he won. He literally won.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to be said about that. Do you have anything to add, sir?
Nah, he basically knew what his strengths was. He knew that he was going to beat Mufasa in a straight up fight. So let me beat him with brains. Let me beat him with finesse.
And if we're talking about master plans out of all this list, Scar had the best one. He was patient. Yeah. He didn't overdo it. He ain't overflex. He knew he couldn't handle Mufasa straight up. Man, Scar is amazing. I'm going to say it. And the only reason he is not number one, because the legacy of our number one, who is the third hyena enthusiast on his list. This man.
Another thing about Scar, before we move on to number one.
Go ahead.
Scar taught me about Quid Pro Quo.
Yeah, he did. He did. We're not getting into politics on this one, but.
Hey, I'm just saying, Quid Pro Quo, you're expected to take certain duties on board.
True. Them hyenas are trying to.
I did not.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't. All right. Back to this list.
Back to the list.
My number one is from the Batman animated series. And y'all probably know who this is. And if you don't know who this is, I have absolutely zero ideas to why you don't. Because it's probably the most iconic villain of all time. You want this one? You want it, or should I tell?
It's Mr. J himself.
What?
The Joker.
The Joker. I mean, we ain't really got to elaborate a lot on the Joker, man. It's the Joker.
It's the freaking Joker.
His master plan is chaos. His impact.
Just undeniable.
Undeniable. His legacy lived on through the future. In story and out of story. Like, the character wasn't even supposed to make it to the 90s. But he was so good when he debuted in the comic that they had to bring him back. And is there a better... go ahead.
And without him, there is no Harley Quinn.
There is no Harley Quinn. He brought a whole nother person on the list. Mr. J is by far the greatest villain from the 90s. We're just talking about his 90s version from the Batman animated series. Mark Hamill took everything he's ever seen from the past Jokers and made the best Joker, and that impact went well into right now in 2019. His Joker is still standing the test of time. There is no better villain. Nobody else has done that.
No. And to quote somebody else, that version of the Joker is iconic.
Oh, the iconics. You know,
let me say
we got some announcements to make, but I just want to thank you guys for coming, listening to our podcast. Thank you, JB, for coming on this one with that interview. The interview was phenomenal. This top 10 list was phenomenal. And man, me too. A little way over time.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you enjoyed this, let us know. JB will definitely be coming through a few times. The next time he'll be coming through the studio is in December. The third show of December. I'll give you the date later. But he's coming through and we're going to talk Star Wars, his favorite franchise.
Yes, Rise of Skywalker drops.
We're going to talk about Rise of Skywalker. We're going to go through some of the movies and maybe some of his favorite moments and characters from the entire Star Wars franchise. I'm going to go ahead and hit you with the spoiler. Number one is going to be Ezra from Star Wars Rebels.
Boy, you better stop that.
Yeah, it's going to be.
You say you're my favorite character in that show.
Kanan?
Probably Kanan.
Anyway, I guess you have to tune in to find out. JB, one more time, man. Plug your socials. I mean, your social media, not your social security. No.
All right. So you can find me on Instagram at JB versus the world, Facebook, also at JB versus the world, YouTube, JB versus the world, Twitter, and get this, JBV the world, not the versus, JBV the world.
Get it up. Well, now we got all the business side of things out of the way. Again, I want to thank JB for coming through. Man, I had an absolute blast. And me and JB, have another podcast where we'll be talking wrestling.
What?
We're going to announce the name and stuff at a later date. But that's our next venture together, man. And, man, if you enjoyed this episode, wait till you see what we have for the future, because it's going to be game-changing.
It's going to be. It has to be. And it's going to be
glorious.
Undisputed.
Oh, I thought she was going to say glorious, man. We're supposed to finish each other's sentences and we blew it.
Oh, man, my bad. I'm sorry about the sandwiches.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. It's amazing that we're doing this. I hope you guys enjoyed the Spotlight 10. And we're going to have more. We mentioned Mars earlier in the show. Mars the Martian, a friend of ours, up-and-coming rapper, doing some really good things on his, what is that thing called that he is on? I can't think right now. My mind just completely went blank. Sorry about that, Mars. We'll get it. We'll fix it in the post. Anyway, man, Mars is coming February. I got CJ Burton for championship boxing. He'll be here in January. We're going to talk boxers and not the underwear, but top 10 greatest boxers. And we're going to interview him about his business. So the Spotlight 10 is doing really, it's up and coming. It's going to do well. And I'm excited for the future. You got anything to add about yourself?
Man, trust the process, man. Y'all take care of yourselves and each other.
That's a good one, man. That's a good one. Also, be on the lookout for our Star Wars episode coming up in December. And I might have JB come in on another, come in a little earlier than the Star Wars episode where we could talk about terrible 90s kids. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I'm almost pretty sure Problem Child or Dennis the Menace
are going to be at the Mr. Wilson was a victim.
Mr. Wilson was definitely the villain in that movie, man.
Oh, he was a victim.
Villain.
Victim.
Put a poll on your page, JB. Y'all go to JB's page, and we're going to decide whether or not Dennis was the victim or the villain.
Ooh, you need to start something with that one.
Anyway, we got to end this day. We're over time, man. Thank you guys for coming out. It's been a blast.
So the S10 will put a light on up-and-coming business owners, writers, sports figures, gamers, geeks, nerds, and entrepreneurs. It will air in the third week of each month. So please feel free to stay tuned and check out all the podcasts that I put out. But really check out this third one, because I feel like we have an opportunity to build something really dope. Now that we've all been formally introduced to JB, I'd like to introduce myself. allow me to reintroduce myself. I'm just kidding. Seriously, though. I'm your host, BK Spades, and you're tuned into Top 10 Reasons Why, the podcast. And today is a very special episode. This is the very first edition of the Spotlight 10.
J.B. Smith is a writer, a podcaster, a reviewer, and a content creator. You can hear his voice alongside Zunga and Danielle as a part of the Couple and Friends podcast, as well as on Multicultural Sci-Fi Organization podcast. You should most definitely go check out it and subscribe to his YouTube channel at JB Versus the World, where you will find some of his reviews and thoughts of new films, games, and TV shows. Welcome to the show, JB.
I appreciate you having me.
So, what is JB's current Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
Oof, Lord, that's a tough one. Okay. Current, not all time.
Current.
That's what's tougher, man, because there's so much talent everywhere. Right, so without even thinking about it, number one, off top, Kazuchika Okada.
All right. That's a good one.
Can I put all the Elite in there as one entry?
No, you cannot.
Okay. Then I guess I have to go with Cody.
All right. I'm cool with Cody.
Because Cody's doing a lot for the business right now.
He really is, man. Kind of changing the game a little bit.
A lot of it. Cody is just really doing his thing right now.
True.
So shout out to Cody. Georgia boy. Cody Rhodes. I gotta have the ladies represented on the list. So yeah, Charlotte.
I did not see that one coming, but hey.
It has to be her.
Are you sure you love her? Ponytail Becky.
Ah, man. Because Becky's been really good as a performer for a long time.
She has, but like this meteoric thing she got going on has only been like a year.
Yeah. Her run on top has only been for like the last like year and some change.
Yeah, like a few days ago was the anniversary of the beginnings of the man.
Yeah.
But Charlotte. You said Charlotte, so I need one more.
All right. Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Yeah, the big dog. It has to be him. I mean, he's on top. It's his show. It's his WWE. And Roman's been the guy on top for a long time, and he's been running with the ball.
So you just gave him Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Seth Rollins. And I say that not because I have a problem with Seth. Seth is one of my favorites. He's been tripping right now. He's been tripping for a minute now.
Yeah, the crowd doesn't know how to respond to him. Like, half the time they're like, boo Seth right now. And then the other half is like, when he says burn it down, they got to say it with him. So it's crazy.
It's super crazy, and he has mostly done it to himself.
Yeah, his Twitter profile is not being the best.
No,
maybe it's time for Seth to go away for a minute. Maybe
if he did, I wouldn't be upset. But Mount Rushmore, we get five, right?
No, it's like four people on Mount Rushmore, right? I thought it was four.
It was five.
Are you sure?
Yes. Okay.
I give you an honorable mention then.
Triple H.
Okay. Why Triple H?
Man, NXT, everything he's done for the business. He's an active legend that's still doing stuff. And I feel like when we talk about Triple H's legacy, it's this more than his in-ring work.
Yeah, Yeah, I can agree with that. Although Triple H is in my top 10, but that's another thing. It's not about me today.
Like, my personal take with Triple H is, I can't think of a Triple H match or matches that I'm like, oh man, this is dope, this is incredible, that doesn't include like The Undertaker or Shawn Michaels or somebody of like equal greatness.
But does that say more about his talent and the people that wanted to work with him versus his actual legacy? Are you saying that he can't stand alone without those people? Or is it that those people really wanted to work with him?
No, but Triple H is more just a matter of, you put on good matches, you put on solid matches, but how would I think about it if I wanted to go back and rewatch it? Like, I think matches I want to rewatch, like, just off the top of my head, like Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, NXT TakeOver a couple years ago. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, any of them. man. The triple threat match for the Best of the Super Juniors. Not Best of the Super Juniors. The Junior Heavyweight Championship at Wrestle Kingdom last year with, like, Kushida, Marty Scurll, and Will Ospreay.
Can I be honest? I think Triple H's work is more so his character work versus his in-ring.
Yes.
Even though he's
absolutely in-ring,
but his character work, like, you remember the first time he pulled the sledgehammer out and looked at it, or every time he pulls the sledgehammer out and look at it. Like, it's iconic, you know?
You knew what time it was.
Cerebro is out right now, you know?
Right.
But I do think you might be right. His matches always have to like coincide with who's in the ring with him versus, well, the matches we remember. But
right, the matches that we love.
True. That's a podcast. That's another podcast for another day. We got to switch gears right now.
Okay.
As your reviewer, content creator, podcasting dictates that you review TV shows and things like that, I wanted to switch gears and talk about or cartoons and anime. I wanted to switch gears and ask you about some of the shows that you're currently watching. And that is your next question. The official number 9 question is, what TV shows are you watching right now?
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna just spitball them out.
Go ahead.
Because there's a number of things. There's so much content right now. This is a great time to like to be a nerd, just an entertainment, because there's just so much content going on. Yes, and sure. I scramble on the week to week trying to get through all of it. It's like, when do I find time to be productive? Because I'm always keeping my ear, trying to keep my ears on the ground, my finger on the pulse.
Absolutely.
Let's see, Power.
Okay.
Empire, even though that's more of a guilty pleasure thing. And that's something that my family wrote me into watching, because they watch it and they've been watching it consistently from the beginning. And I eventually got sucked in. The Arrowverse shows, Arrow, Flash, Black Lightning, those three specifically. I don't watch Legends. I don't watch Supergirl. I haven't even checked out Batwoman yet. I'm just trying to, and at this point with the Arrowverse, I'm just trying to be in the loop for Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's coming like next month.
Yeah.
And that's called Arrow. Right. And
13th or something like that. I might be wrong. It's not called like that.
This sounds about right. This sounds about right. 13 sounds about right. But
as far as that goes, I'm hoping I can just jump in at Crisis and not have to go back and watch everything else, because it feels like homework going back. But I digress.
It does.
Keep going.
The Mandalorian just started.
Love that show. The little Yoda is adorable.
Right. Watchmen.
Oh, controversial.
Super controversial.
Love it.
But I'm so far. I'm absolutely loving it. On the anime tip, Fire Force, Fate Grand Order.
Okay.
Let's see here. I started watching Gundam Build Divers this season.
Something that I intend to jump into myself.
It's interesting. It's on YouTube. Ruby, I'm a big Ruby fan. I think I might just start doing like Ruby reviews on YouTube, but okay. That fandom is so toxic. It's so toxic at this point. But Ruby, I love. Dragon Prince comes back this week. So I'll definitely be back on that. Runaway.
I am definitely on Dragon Prince.
Dragon Prince is dope consistently.
It is, man. It's like the new Avatar almost. Like, not the actual new Avatar. This is like Avatar. But just for the fact it's filling the void for a lot of people right now.
It is. It absolutely is. My Hero Academia.
Love that show.
Love it. And I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but there's just so much stuff.
Man, it is a lot. It's really hard. Oh, Rick and Morty. That's
Rick and Morty just came back. That's crazy. I gotta forget Rick and Morty.
I don't know, but Rick and Morty is the GOAT of. They took like 2 years off, and people are still like, "I need more." And we're not even getting like full 12, 13 episodes right now. I think we're getting like 5 or 6.
We're getting 5. This for now.
Which is trash, but I accept it. At least it's something.
That's what it comes down to. At least it's something. Man, Titans. Titans, too. That's the last one I'll name.
That's one of the shows. Y'all, listen. If the man says you got to go, if he's watching them, that means you got to go check them out. All right. So, moving on. Question 8. What led you into doing reviewing and podcasting? What was your inspiration for this?
Podcasting was something I just originally just fell into. With Zanga had been doing podcasting. I was like, hey, I want to do a show with you. Let's do it. And I had like put Zanga off for like a year because I was like living elsewhere and doing stuff and never going through stuff. But then a year or some change ago, like everything just kind of just lined up. And I was like, okay, well, let's do it. And that's how we got started. As far as reviewing goes, you've been my Facebook friend for a long time. I've always been kind of opinionated on things.
This is true.
And I've just decided, you know, I'm going to take my opinion and just turn it into a platform. Because people were saying, I should. And so far, it's been great. It's fun.
I definitely think it was a good move. I mean, I wouldn't be doing this podcast had I not met you. So,
man, I appreciate it. I wouldn't be reviewing, like, if it wasn't for, like, friends like you.
That's right. Flowers. You know what I'm saying? You got to give you flowers.
Exactly. Tulips. Roses.
All that. All that.
Daisies. All right.
Oh, yeah. And shout out to Coupling Friends.
Zion shout out to Coupling Friends.
Two dope people. Let's see. Question 7. As a writer, what inspires your work? Now, I know we can't get into what you're doing. I mean, I know what you're working on, but
yeah.
I know you can't get into that yet. And I'm not trying to put you on the fire or anything, but. Just give us an insight to what inspires your work.
Oh man, I've always loved storytelling. Just like dope storytelling. And that's been like that's one of my chief passions. Like I just love a good story. And I don't care what form it comes in. Audiobook, physical book, comic book, anime, movie, TV show. I just love good stories. And one of the two biggest influences on how I've how I write the kind of stories I want to tell when I get there is Star Wars.
Okay.
And Avatar The Last Airbender.
Ah. Two adventure shows. Adventure movie shows and all that other stuff because Star Wars is literally everything at this point.
Everything. And one last one, Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, you know what?
Full Metal Alchemist as well.
Good segue into our number 6 question, which is, In your opinion, what are the most influential animes
ever? All time or just to me?
All time.
All time. Woof. Boy, you were getting the heat. Okay.
That's right.
All time, man, I think it's really just a cultural thing. Like, you talking about to here, this side of the world. It's just definitely Naruto.
Okay.
Evangelion. To certain people who are familiar, who have been around long enough, Ninja Scroll, Akira, Ghost in the Shell, man,
Akira better
have Thundercats Beat Racer, Sailor Moon for girls.
Man, Sailor Moon for everybody, not just for girls. Man, you know Tuxedo.
That's true.
Yeah, man.
That's true. Now, I said that because I know more girls than anybody else who stab magical girls. And that's like the OG magical girl.
Hold on. Let me just say that I, BK Spades, I am a huge Sailor Moon fan. And so is my daughter, which I think she probably finished the series before I ever did, like the real one. Not like the American trash one that we put out back when I was a kid. But anyway.
Since she's older. Now, I was there. 4 o'clock, Sailor Moon was the first to lead off on Toonami. I was there every day.
Man, Sailor Moon is better than Goku. I said it. I stand by it. I'm on my Denzel right now. All right, we're moving on. I'm not even going to let you.
Galaxy Buster. Cosmic level Galaxy Buster.
Man, amazing, amazing. Just amazing character altogether.
Absolutely.
Okay, so moving on. Question 5. If you can choose one word to describe you, what would that word be?
Resilient.
Care to elaborate on that one, sir?
Man, you've known me for a lot of years now.
True.
And I have experienced things and seen some things that I probably should have capitulated by now. Probably should have folded. And I've just taken to the approach of something bad happens and things do happen, that you take your time, you feel that feel, you reassess the situation, and then you get after it.
Right. Trust the process, right?
Trust the process. And that's where that comes from. That's where I say that quite a bit. If you go on my Facebook page right now, it says trust the process.
You know, ironically, a thing that I found cool about our relationship with friends is you were saying trust the process in your corner, and I was like saying pretty much the same thing in my corner. And it's just all kind of, you know, it all correlates together, and it's like a cool thing.
Yeah, it just blends in.
Funny how that works, right?
Yeah, but that's always been like our relationship. We've always been like on the same page or the same mind about most things.
This is true. This is true. No smoke. Nah. All right. So let's light things up a little bit.
Okay.
Favorite video game franchise? And for those that's counting, that's number 4. That's question 4.
All right. Favorite video game franchise? You would think it's Madden, but it's not.
It's not, and it's probably Zone of the Enders.
No.
What?
It's not that, and I wanted to be. If Zone had more games, it would be that, hands down. Zone of the Enders 2 is my all-time favorite video game.
Okay. I'm done guessing.
Armor Core. The Armor Core series is my favorite.
That's a good series. I was trash at it.
But I've good. Always been. I'm a giant robot guy. Yeah. I've always been a giant robot guy. Me and you connected. Me, you, and Alton, shout Mars the Martian. Like, the three of us bonded over our love of Gundam.
This is true, man. Gundam, man, I love that franchise. Just the look of the Gundams. We're getting off subject, and we don't do this. But I'm just going to say, the look of Gundam, the politics within the series, how cool and flashy some of the moves are. Man, that
franchise. Right. Just how cool, just how hype some of the machines are. Look, man, it's just so great. I could riff all day about Gundam.
If I were a writer and I had the opportunity to write for a franchise, it is definitely Gundam. Because man. I just want like a black pilot.
Well, we had one.
That's like really hood. Really hit. I'm talking like sideways gun, toting Gundam. And I know that's stereotypical, and I'm sorry for that, but I just always thought it would be really cool to see like the hoodest Gundam with like, I don't know, Louis Vuitton print with the red, white, and blue. I would watch the heck out of that series, man.
We would have got that in G Gundam for it to get stereotyped.
G Gundam was great, though.
G Gundam was wild.
It really was.
Zebra man. Gundam. Boy.
But my all-time favorite Gundam will always be Zero. Right? Zero. Oh, Angel Wings?
Oh. Man, I have a love affair with that Gundam. It's not my all-time favorite.
That's
my favorite Gundam. My favorite all-time Gundam right now is it's like a tie between the 00 Riser and the Unicorn.
Unicorn is dope, but
Unicorn is so dope.
My number two is the original Gundam.
Mm.
And
78-2.
What was Amuro's last Gundam called? New Gundam.
New.
Oh New man, Gundam. I love like. If my three Gundams, that's it. The Wing, New Gundam, and the OG Gundam.
I've had to pick a third. Wing Zero, Double Riser, and Unicorn.
Okay. So, we talked about trusting the process.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to jump into question three. What's an inspirational quote to live by? What's your inspirational quote to live by?
Okay. Trust the process is the one I came up with for myself.
Yep. I ripped that straight from your page.
another one that's starting to become more important to me is no fear.
Ha, that's mine for November. No fear November. Hashtag. No fear November.
Hashtag. And the one that rings with me, like even when I be feeling like, ugh, I don't want to do this, but I got to anyway. It's something that my mom says on repeat. Mm-hmm. Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Oh, I love that. Shout out to moms. That's a dope one. I hope y'all got that, yeah. Ladies and gents, because that was a good one.
Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And it's like, I might want to like leave something like undone, or leave something a mess, or leave, or do something lazily at work, or something like that. Yeah. Or even just like sometimes you feel like you don't want to deal with somebody in particular because you know that it's going to be a drag or it's going to be difficult. And it's just like, okay, well, it has to be done. So just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Awesome. So speaking of, doing the right thing. Let's jump into the question two that has nothing to do with doing the right thing, but has everything to do with your favorite team of all time, the Falcons. What's your thought on your Falcons? And I know this one probably can get 10 minutes out of, so try to keep it as short as you can.
All right. So as of now, the Falcons are 3-7. So it's not like a lot I can't say. I can't brag on them. But I've never seen what they're doing right now, what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Over the bye week, they the coaching staff shuffled around. They pretty much played musical chairs with who's coaching what. And the team has responded. This is if the defense played like this at the beginning of the year, we'd be in the discussion right now.
True.
Absolutely would be in discussion. And the sad, we're not gonna say the sad. The funny part is we are completely out of it right now. We have to run the table to get into the playoffs. And if we play like we have been playing, it's very possible.
Well, look. I personally hope you guys make it because I know it'll mean a lot to you if they go. So I'm not even hating on your squad because it's not like, hey, I've been paying attention like a whole lot this season and the Panthers ain't went anywhere for real either. So I can't, it's not like I have bragging rights for anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So, let's jump into this number one question. And this is probably a very important question, so I want you to think about it a little bit.
Okay.
Where do you see your brand exactly 1 year from now?
Ooh. Exactly 1 year from now.
1 year from now.
We're talking November 19th, 2020.
Yep.
I would like to see all my numbers like quadruple on everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. Like, I have like about 50 something subs right now on the YouTube channel. I would like to see that be at like 200. I will, 300 likes on the Facebook page, like almost approaching 400. I would like to see over 1,000 this time next year.
You have it. I definitely think you
have it. Instagram, everything. Like, I just want to be able to just, like, you know, just spread the word. You know what I'm saying? Not that I'm gospeling or preaching anything, but just be able to, like, let people know who I am and what I'm about. Just take my brand of fun and just talk about people. Because this is really what this is about. This is fun. It's work.
Yeah.
Because of the social media and the networking and trying to get people to get eyes on the product and be able to make a better product, like improve my writing, improve my reviewing, improve video editing. I also want a workstation by this time next year too. Like, I better have it by this time next year. I want to have my set so I can just spit out videos. I just want to be able to be in a good position, a good place where I could just make content, spit out content, and be on top of it. Mm-hmm. And I want to also have the groundwork set up. I want to be able to take off by this time next year.
Word. I agree with that. In fact, that's pretty much where I am as well. I mean, because when you start these things, you keep your expectations grounded, but man, you hope for like a spike or something to just come out of the blue and just catapult your stuff.
Just new level.
Yeah. But you know, these things take time. Again, trust the process. Process is a process. Very good word in both of our lives. But speaking of socials, right now, go ahead and plug your socials so the people know where to find you.
Okay, well, if you want to find me on Instagram, you can find me at JB versus the world. Same thing for Facebook. You can find me on Facebook the most. Facebook page, JB versus the world.
No,
or, well, it's JB Smith. JB Smith, JB versus the world. Yeah, it's all out there. also on YouTube, JB versus the world, and on Twitter is JBV the world because that versus was taken.
Yeah, I ran into that issue at first. I was like, nah, I know I'm putting this in right. Because on the other side of this break, we are going to discuss our top 10 90s villains. We put together a list, me and JB.
Who worked hard on this?
Yeah, we did. I mean, we had a bit of a spat, but we're going to come back on the other side and we're going to discuss our top 10 90s villains. So bear with us. We got to pay some bills around here. And then we'll be right back.
Stay tuned, y'all.
So we're trying to build our social media presence. And if you have a Twitter, you should totally go over to Twitter and follow us at reasons_top. That's reasons_TOP. And you can also follow my personal Twitter at KingOfSpades1. That's King of Spades, the number one. And also, you should totally follow my Instagram at TheBKSpades. So that's Twitter at reasons_top. King of Spades 1, the number one, and Instagram, TheBKSpades. Thank you for getting to the end of this podcast. I'm excited. That's awesome that you stuck with me this far. But I want you to remember something. You're unique. You're you. There is no other you out here in this world. So remember that you're dope. You'll always be dope because you're uniquely you. Thanks for listening. You're tuned into another episode of Top 10 Reasons Why Podcast.